Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Hello, everyone. Today we have Debbie Emick. Debbie is co-creator of GoBucketYourself.com and co-host of the One Life Live It podcast. She lives on the plains of Southern Colorado with her husband, two daughters, Denali the dog, and her six chickens. Debbie wrote The Other Side of Perfect, Discovering the Mind-Body Connection to Healing, a memoir and practical guide to overcoming adversity. It is a brutally honest and revealing peek into the life of a woman whose multiple diagnoses, including autoimmune disease with a very bleak prognosis, was the surprising source of ultimate liberation. After trying everything, meditation, nutrition, fitness, stress reduction, and more, Debbie found her health continuing to deteriorate. And in the deepest depths of depression, this people-pleasing perfectionist stumbled upon her greatest resource of self-healing yet, resurrecting the past to heal the future. This is an incredible story of mind-body healing, my absolute favorite topic. Let's see how this spirals out. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm just grateful for the time and space, and I know we're going to have a great conversation. So thank you.
Right? It's my favorite topic. So let's get right into it. Tell us about the diagnosis, you know, and the story around that, and then we'll go into what you did and how you finally, you know, found some relief and healing.
Sure. About 10 years ago, shortly after the birth of my youngest daughter, I started having some health symptoms that I just couldn't ignore. So in retrospect, I can see there were some whispers going on throughout my body and my life, probably that were little signals. And I kind of just did the whole hustle grind type thing. I was a mom. I was working. I put my head down. I pushed through it. And finally, it got to a point I couldn't ignore it anymore because it was directly interfering with my livelihood, my lifestyle. So I was active. I was an outdoor runner and I had to stop running. I would have so much pain in like my hands and wrists and elbows and shoulders after I would mow the lawn that I couldn't push a shopping cart in the store the next day. Just some painful hikes. We live in Colorado and like to go hiking. And so finally I went into the doctor with a hunch that something was up autoimmune wise, just based on some of those whispers I had had previously. And so I requested specifically blood work for lupus. And I was 31 at the time. And so she was kind of like, well, it might just be an aging body. And this is a doctor that I trusted, I cared for. But I knew, you know, even then, the small intuition I had was like, no, this is not in line with my age. And so she went ahead and ordered the blood work, but she thought maybe it was bursitis. And eventually that led me to this autoimmune, long, windy path of diagnosis and treatment. And so eventually what came out is I have something called mixed connective tissue disease, which is an overlap autoimmune disease. For me, it's a mixture of lupus and something called relapsing polychondritis that specifically attacks cartilage. Mine had silently destroyed the cartilage in my lungs, my trachea and bronchioles, meaning so there was severe collapse when I would breathe out. And then eventually I was also given this other diagnosis of pulmonary hypertension. So that's high blood pressure in your lungs, which leads to heart failure fairly quickly and requires quite a bit of expensive treatment. So that's kind of the very short story of the diagnosis themselves. And then treatment is obviously a whole other ball of wax and ball game for sure.
Right. So a pretty scary diagnosis.
Yeah, eventually it felt scary. You know, at first I was just in pain, so much physical pain, that I didn't even care as much about what the diagnosis was or what was happening that I couldn't see because I didn't really understand that or know it. I just wanted to be relieved of this pain that I was in. And so, most of my going to doctors and questioning and trying to find answers was about getting rid of that pain. And then eventually getting that diagnosis of what had happened to my lungs was a scary diagnosis. And it put a lot right in front of my face, right? So most people don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. No one knows, you know, they're not guaranteed anything, but this just made it really real for me that I had today, I didn't know what the future held for me or my body or anything like that. So,
yeah. So what were your first steps? What did you first do?
So yeah, just being completely honest, and the place I was at with my life and my health at that time, and just feeling very pragmatic, I, really gave away all my power to specialists. And so I've switched, you know, I've since switched, but at one point and in the beginning, I was on 9 different prescription medications, like 3 times a day, and feeling just as bad, if not worse, as when I went seeking help. And so that realization finally sinking in had me just beginning to take back my power, a little bit at a time, right? And luckily, my husband was there to encourage, suggest, support some of these things. So while my doctors may have said, you can try it, but it probably won't do anything, he encouraged me to work on you know, what food I put into my body. So that was step one. When I noticed the difference with that, you know, then it sort of helped me keep moving forward. And so then I worked on moving my body. So even though I was in pain, still empowering myself to go out and be active and seeing how that helped. I worked on decreasing the toxicities in my environment, the products I used, things like that. And eventually a conversation with my rheumatologist led me to decide that maybe stepping away from my job, which was stressful, would be like the magic bullet, right? If I could leave my job, I would eliminate all of my stress and that would be the thing that really solved all my problems. And so that was my honest thinking at that time. And what happened after I stepped away from my job for many reasons was I found myself in the deepest, darkest place I had been in, still in pain, still sick. I had tried everything I knew that I could to get better. And now I was in this emotionally hopeless place. And I didn't really see a reason for me to go on. You know, my mind was like, why can't this just take me quickly? Why is it going to be slow and painful? And coming out of that and realizing how low I had been helped me know that I never wanted to go back there. Not really for me. I didn't have that worthiness in myself yet, but I knew I didn't want to continue cycles for my own daughters or perpetuate any. And so my work since then from that point has just been clawing myself out of that deep, dark hole. And it just so happened that when I began working on my emotional health, to get out of that darkness, I started to feel this physical pain that was in my body also lessen and eventually leave my body. And so that connection, you know, one that we may think of as more mystical or magical, but really is also very scientific, hormonal chemical reasons that those two are linked as well. But I couldn't deny that connection anymore. And then, that just helped me move forward in that way too.
Yeah, it can't be denied. I mean, I read Bruce Lipton when I was in my 20s and the biology belief and how our emotions and our mind affect our physical body is really real and profound. And we're just not aware of it. So you started taking your power back, you know, before you went into the deep stuff, the healing the emotion, yeah. Which was an amazing step. Can you just talk a bit more about that? Because we do give away our power to people that we trust, but really we have to listen to the inside, our own intuition and knowing.
Yeah. So I have to say that for me, my deepest work was sort of releasing these repressed emotions and this trauma from when I was younger that I never dealt with. And so when I first began taking my power back, I wasn't in that place, right? But when after I got in that deep, dark moment, that became, for various reasons, the obvious place I needed to go to uncover and finally deal with, accept, release, heal, move on from that. And in doing so, there were lots of synchronicities, just lots of information coming to me and me beginning to develop my own intuition. But what became clear was that I had developed these coping mechanisms or personality traits, ways of being, because of that those things that had happened to me that I had never dealt with. And I had become, the older I got, the better I got at being a perfectionist and a people pleaser. So outwardly, the way I looked, the way I acted was all to keep people from seeing, including myself, this authentic person that I was, the true vulnerable part of me. And my actions, the way I showed up in the world, were to show up as I thought others wanted me to make other people happy, right? And so that wasn't clear when I was first working on healing, which meant those unconscious behavior patterns that I had, just these things I was trying to heal just added to that. So I over-controlled and over-perfected my food until I was probably not nourishing myself. You know, in hopes of healing myself, I was actually over-controlling that. I overdid it with movement and exercise until it was almost like a punishing amount, you know, like looking perfect, being perfect, just going hardcore. And so I have to say those things are a very important piece of just being a whole human, taking care of yourself and taking care of your body. But until I did that underlying work of my unconscious thoughts, routines, behavior patterns, I wasn't able to do that. And I also didn't know who I was. I couldn't access my own intuition. I didn't trust it. And so all of these things working together helped me just one tiny step at a time, not always getting it right, learning to forgive myself if I didn't, move toward a more loving, healing way of doing those things. So using food to love and nourish myself, using movement, exercise, getting my heart rate up to love and nourish myself, all of those things. So that was a long way to maybe answer your question, but I think that's the deeper core of it.
No, it's beautiful. And you know, our conscious mind spends most of the day covering up the stuff in the unconscious so that it doesn't affect us, but it's never erased. So it gets triggered and it's always there. So beautiful. And how did you first get to that unconscious emotional part? Because that's the tricky part. And once it's revealed, if you can reveal it, you know, it's like shining light in the dark. So it can be quite healing.
Yeah, I definitely see it like that now. And I love that part of that darker part of myself now. I can appreciate it. At the time, this to me is a really funny story because there was so much, there was no awareness, right? It was just like I would read and learn about something and just go full force into that and try it. And each time thinking that would be the one thing that would fix everything. And so I had been reading about the gut connection, first like gut brain connection, overall body health. And I decided I needed a probiotic, which I did. that's a very, you know, that's an important thing. Healing my gut was an important piece of me getting healthy, but I was overwhelmed by all the choices, the price differences, the different kinds. So I went to a chiropractor. So she's called a chiropractor in my rural area. Somewhere else she might be called, she might call herself something else. She does chiropractic work. So she does alignment, but she does a lot of other things as well. So I went to her and I said, I need a probiotic. I just want a probiotic. I want to buy it. I want to get out of here. And she saw through that for whatever reason. She was able to go, hang on, slow down for a minute. Let's figure out what's really going on. And so she did work to heal my gut, but she also did some somatic and some energetic work. And she told me what she wanted to do. And I was right away like, I went out looking for critics. So I went to my husband and said, like, this is crazy. This is what she wants to do. Can you believe it? And I went to a good friend and said the same thing. And they both said, like, you've tried everything else. I don't know why you wouldn't try it. And so I went back just kind of like checking boxes. But she used a somatic technique with me that, like you said, it just opened that tiniest bit in me that was like, oh, you know, there's something else going on here. And that felt hard and tricky, and I didn't really understand all of it. But in a relative, right, it's relative because I had been like working on getting better for probably 7 years at that point, in a relatively short amount of time. So over a couple, maybe 3 months, I started to feel this pain that I carried in my shoulders. I couldn't lift my arms up to take off a shirt or to do my hair. And this pain I had carried in my thighs for years started to lessen and eventually left. And so at that point, it didn't matter. You know, at first it was like, is she trying to steal my money or is this fake or woo woo? But I didn't, I mean, it could be fake and I wouldn't care. The pain was leaving my body. And so she took me back to places in my life that I didn't expect to go back to. And that kind of helped me know like, ah, this is the deeper work. This is what I need to do. So she didn't do all the healing there in her office, but it definitely pointed the way to what I needed to keep doing on my own and the deeper work I needed to keep stepping toward. So
right. And I just want to share why it's so important, because the unconscious mind is connected to the automatic mind, and the automatic mind controls every automatic process that goes on in our bodies, including heart rate, lungs, you know, hormones, all the things that happen in our body that are miraculous and we don't even think about. So the two are in the same part of the brain. And if there's trauma there or stress happening, it's going to eventually affect the physical. So it's just beautiful that she took you back there. And I love that you were a skeptic. I love sharing that with our listeners. And when you're in that place, though, you're willing to try anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would have loved someone to validate my feeling of like, I think the underlying intuitive feeling was like, this is going to be hard work and I didn't want to do it. Not physically hard, but I had been denying these emotions and feelings and happenings for years. You know, I had gotten so good at pretending it away. And so I think I, you know, that unconscious part of me knew this was the harder work. And I wanted someone to say like, no, don't do that. But they didn't. And I think, you know, where I'm at now, I can make those decisions for myself. But at that time, I needed people to validate me or tell me what to do or what was right. And I love what you say, because I think I mentioned there were all these synchronicities going on at the same time. So I went to her for this probiotic and she helped me in ways I did not expect. And at the same time, I was reading Brené Brown and working on releasing shame. And I was reading Glennon Doyle and learning about this perfectionism, people pleasing tendency I had, and reading about journaling and how that was healing. And eventually I was led to Besser van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, and Gabor Mate's When the Body Says No. And they talk very clearly about that nervous system connection to our chronic health, or disease. And I was meditating and and all of that at the same time. And I began to understand the ways that even though that part of our nervous system is controlled unconsciously, we can also make changes to control it in a conscious way, right? And so I was beginning to step toward doing that just intuitively, which just kept building that trust with myself and my own intuition, but learning how to breathe to calm myself. I mean, obviously, first, it's just being aware of, oh, my nervous system is in overdrive so often for no justifiable reason. There's not an immediate danger in front of me. So I'm just trying to get loaded in the car and I'm working myself up. And so I just love that connection between it's there to protect us and not have to think about it, but we can think about it and we can control it. And we do have some ways to tame our nervous system and bring it down and change those chemical and hormonal responses in our body.
Right. And if we think about it, our unconscious mind records everything. So, and especially between 0 and 8 years of age, it records all information. So it doesn't decide what's important, what's not important. And these circuits start to develop that can get triggered later in life. And like you say, we have no idea, no clue as to why it's happening. Mm-hmm. So tell us about perfectionism. Have you figured out where that came from? Like that would be a mechanism to keep you safe. Yeah, it takes a lot of work to keep that up. And it would, and there'd be something underlying where you didn't feel safe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that obviously that's a conscious connection I'm making, but I hope from a place of awareness now. Just to go back to what you were saying, like something else that fascinates me that I like to say, and we don't have to say this here, but I would love to hear what you have to say about. My body doesn't know the difference between truth and reality, right? It just knows what I tell it. And so it's responding to my unconscious thought patterns, behaviors, routines, whether they're true or not. And so that's another way recently I've been able to take back my power, when we're talking about my health, that has a huge impact on my health, but just that awareness of what is going on in my mind and whether it's truth or a lie and what I would like the truth to be. And why not make that the truth that I tell my body? So for me, when I was a child, I grew up in this really wild place in Colorado on a farm and ranch in southeastern Colorado. From my memory, when I was very young, we were a very cohesive, tight-knit family, extended family lived around us. But eventually my parents, who were young parents, wanted more. And we left the farm and the ranch so that they could go to college, get degrees, get different types of jobs. And eventually my family broke apart. And so over years of this happening, my dad slowly stepped out of my life and I didn't really have a relationship with him. And my mom, over the course of two marriages, married two men that had alcohol dependency problems and brought with them all of that, just what comes with that. And that codependent relationship between them, the abusive tendencies or behaviors that come with them. And so there were years of my life where I was living in the basements of my good friends throughout high school and not really in close relationship with either of my parents. And as I grew older, these were things I just was a positive person. I just superficially now I know just forgive and move on. I just forgive and move on. We never talked about those things. We never addressed them. We never talked about their impact on me or my parents or why or what any of this happened. And so, I had just like hid that under my perfectionism, just continuously trying to look in control and really good at things and really good at making people happy, and looking pleasing to them, behaving in a way that doesn't rock the boat or anything. And that was it, it was just covering this thing that I thought I had just quickly let go of because I didn't really address it, but really I just held it so close to me because I didn't address it. And then I covered it in these layers of perfectionism and people pleasing.
Right. And imagine that small child going through that without the adult mind, right? It feels very scary and like things are falling apart and how am I going to survive in this? And do they really love me? So many things, or, you know, can in a child's mind that's developing, can develop circuits and ways of perceiving the world that as an adult don't really work anymore, but we're unaware of what the child saw and it's still within us.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And it's, you know, there's just a certain amount of that will happen to all of us. Right. But if we don't talk and we don't treat the child as a human, not that that was ever done on purpose or consciously, but if we think we're helping by just denying or not talking about it, then the child mind will develop its own explanations that have maybe nothing to do with what's going on or why, right? And so then to me, that's how I developed that coping mechanism. It wasn't that anyone intentionally abandoned me or wanted me to feel unworthy. It was just that these things were happening. There was no explanation, no discussion. And, you know, probably in retrospect, had they happened with discussion, some of those feelings just would have been what happened. But we just come up with our own explanations, consciously or unconsciously. And just talking it through is at least helpful, I think, in some ways.
I think it happens to most people as humans. I've taken thousands of cases and I realized that very few came through childhood unscathed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because none of us are perfect here. You know, it's all learning and how a child would perceive any situation. It could be like, it could be as simple as, you know, a dog that looked really scary when they were two. And that's the start of a circuit that later in life they get stressed and they don't understand at all, but it's that memory of the dog at two. So it's part of who we are. So we really need to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
So hon, what were the first steps? Like you just seeing this through the Cairo and then the books that you read, just tell us what else you did.
Okay. So I would say step one, when I left my job, like I said, I thought that was a magic bullet. I thought my job, I was a classroom teacher, young children for 14 years. And I thought my job was the stress. And so I thought if I left my job, that would eliminate my stress, right? But what happened was were all of these ego things that happen when you leave your job and the aha that like, my ego really got a lot from this. And now my ego isn't getting that. And I wasn't conscious to that at first, but that started to seep in. Finally, I realized like, oh, the stress is in here. I can make anything stressful. I made myself busy on purpose to build up my ego and then continue that stress cycle. So I started meditating, again, just checking a box. And I would say meditation was step one to awareness, probably, right? But then all these other things were happening at the same time. So my chiropractor did the somatic work. She did some energetic work, so some chakra stuff.
Deb, what's somatic? Just to explain to the listeners.
It's so hard for me to define, except it's just how my body remembers something and is holding it in my body. So to me, it's more rather than like talk therapy where I'm going and sitting with a trained psychologist or something, she's using my body to see where I'm holding a memory. And then she's using my body's response to whatever she's doing to help me release that memory that my body's holding. And so at least the work that she did, it's more physical, somatic in my body, some way of physically releasing something. She was able to sort of take me back to different ages, and it didn't matter what it was or what happened then. It just allowed my body, my conscious mind, maybe to connect it to my physical body and then release it. So, the way she were, you know, she was like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just that it's there. Your body knows it's there, and it would help release it. Did I explain that very well at all? How would you explain it?
No, you explained it beautifully. So it was okay. Releasing it through the body was releasing it. You were seeing it, then the body would release it cellularly, like, you know?
Yeah, I think so. For me, there was a lot of tears just and sweating. I mean, stuff that I didn't really have control over. So anyway, I mentioned like becoming aware of shame and the way I had attached to shame and other people's actions and sort of pulled that into myself as my own shame. And then reading about the effects of journaling for healing, right? So like expressive writing, like sitting down for an extended period of time, writing about something specific, and then doing it for a few days in a row. There's a book that I read called Expressive Writing, and I think the subtitle is Journaling to Heal. And I was reading that, and that was the first time, honestly, I realized that my emotional mind could create physical illness in my body. Before that, I thought when people said it's all in your mind or it's in your head, I took that as kind of like an insult, like there wasn't really something going on in my body. And that book referenced some studies about repressed emotions and trauma and never having any sort of release for that, and lung and heart disease, which are two that I had. And so I started doing that, just writing, just letting myself write, which was also a bit of putting a boundary up, right? So I had been like almost really a martyr, right? Like I did everything for everyone. I needed to be the person that did things for people. That was how I got my validation. And so I put up a time and space to write every morning, and I closed the door. And sometimes people had to make their own breakfast because I did it. And so that was like, just, it sounds silly, but it was like a first step to really finding my own value and worth. And so doing that writing, and then just continuing from there. So meditating, learning to exercise like through yoga or ways to slow down, and doing affirmations, continuing to work on all of that stuff. Eventually, like actually, feeling the feelings I had never let myself feel and then letting them go. So an awareness without judging them, letting myself feel them. And so for a while that meant anger came up and some rage came up, and I let that happen. And then just letting it out once and for all. I could meander through this for a long time, but you know, those were sort of basics, first steps for sure.
Beautiful. And if you even think about covering up anger, keeping it pushed down, how much effort that takes, you know? And keeping this pain bottled up, like it just takes so much effort. It causes so much stress in the body.
Yeah, but I kind of thought it was the other way, you know, before I realized that. I just thought by never really talking about it or dealing with it, I was doing the, you know, that was the way of letting it go. And yeah, in retrospect, now I do see all the energy and work and effort that went into never really letting that happen or letting that out.
Right. And so you now are on the other side. Is it healed? Mm-hmm. All right. And you know, there's such gratitude in the, when once you see what it was all about, there's so much gratitude as well.
Yeah. So as far as like that childhood experience, I am on the other side of that. I am aware now of those behavior patterns and those things that were unconscious to me. I have forgiven myself and in turn, like, realized there's really no forgiveness necessary for anyone else. Right. So I do feel on the other side of that. And at the same time, I realize, because I've had to learn this lesson the hard way over and over, there's really no arriving. I mean, I'm still practicing. I'm still learning. I'm still stepping forward. There's still more work to do. And I would say with my physical health, it's similar. I use all of these things to take care of and love my body. And I still have some specialists that help me do that as well. I mean, the damage that happened to my body because of my immune system happened. And at this point, there's not a way to repair that. And my body, your body doesn't really regrow cartilage on its own. And so these are things that I'm still grateful for, a couple of prescription meds that help modulate my immune system. But overall, I think the healing is my body at this point does everything I ask it to do. And I feel healthy. I feel pain-free most days. And I'm able to live the active life that I want to live. And I don't feel that because a doctor does a test or hands out a diagnosis, I don't even feel that that's necessarily true for me or my body anymore, right? So I'm grateful for my doctors. I'm grateful for the more like what you would call holistic side of it, or the way I can control it. And I don't think I could ask for more at this point. And I think just knowing that the people that have talked to me as I've been more open with my story and what has happened, so many of us feel tired or burned out or sick or in pain, and we just don't know what to do. We don't know who to go to. We want help and we don't know how to get it. And so when I look back at that version of myself compared to now, yeah, I'm on the other side of that for sure.
Yeah. And so much wisdom to share with people, and such a beautiful story.
Thank you. I hope so. I mean, that's the point, I guess. That's the greater hope for sure.
Right. And well, I do believe everything happens for a reason, and that it brings us more awareness. And like you say, it's always a process, but we're different as we move through these things.
Yeah.
Any gems of information that you want to leave with people?
I think the biggest gem is that first word, awareness, right? So just being a noticer of what's going on in our thought patterns, the stories we tell ourselves, our routines, just beginning to notice that without judgment, allowing it, you know, just being the noticer or the watcher of what's going on in our mind. And then detachment. So once you can notice it without judging, you might be able to see what stories you're telling yourself and write better stories. But first, just detaching from those stories. So I know now I am not my pain. I am not my diagnosis. I am not my parents, right? I'm not my mom or my dad. And with the same respect, I'm not my husband or my daughters. I'm not the roles I play. And for some people, it may be like, I am not my house. I am not my car. I am not, you know, my outer appearance, whatever it is, being able to detach from those stories and then create a more conscious story that's based on what you value and what you want out of your life from there. And so whatever, if you're going through health things or just finding yourself lost in a moment, I think those are the first steps. Just being aware is all we can do. And then detach from whatever it is we don't want to be true for us.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. And how do people reach out to you or find your podcast or the things that you're blogging?
Yeah. So I wrote a book all about this story that we've been talking about, and the other side of perfect, discovering the mind-body connection to healing chronic illness. You can find that anywhere books are sold online. There's some indie bookstores online that you can find it at as well, if you don't want to shop at Amazon or Walmart or Barnes and Noble. Or you can go to gobucketyourself.com/books and find a link to it there. Gobucketyourself.com is where we create all of our content, my husband and I, and we also have an extension of that, a podcast called One Life Live It. We just want to empower people to know that they can create the life that's meant specifically for their soul, one small step at a time. And if you want to reach out to me on socials, I would love to hear from you. Send me a message. I'm at imperfectprogress.me. So it's imperfectprogress.me.
That's perfect. It. Yeah. All right. That's so good. I'm going to add all of those into the description so people can find you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for sharing your story and, you know, giving so many a glimpse into how to help themselves. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. This has been great. I can tell I'd love to just keep talking with you over all of this stuff. I appreciate it.
I think we're kindred spirits sending out the same message.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And if anyone wants more information, they can go to it empoweredhealth.com. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Just be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.